Welcome to Breakthrough Success. I'm your host, Mark Roberti, the content marketing expert, bringing you 5 new episodes every week where I and top-level guests teach you how to take your business to the next level and achieve your breakthrough. Hello, Breakthrough Success listeners. I just wanted you all to know before the episode actually starts, I've been working a little bit behind the scenes to give you something really special. So a while ago, I wrote my book, Content Marketing Secrets, which helps people create, promote, and optimize their content for growth and revenue. And I just put the finishing touches together to offer that for free to anyone who is interested. So if you want your free copy of Content Marketing Secrets, all you have to do is head over to markgoberti.com/book. Now, let's jump right into the episode. We all start out as ordinary, but there are some people who are able to take that extra leap and become extraordinary, achieve the successful results, be the case study, be the success story. And everyone has the ability to go from ordinary to extraordinary in any area of their lives. The key is a desire, a belief, and taking action. So who better to talk about going from ordinary to extraordinary than today's guest, who is a writer, speaker, adventurer, entrepreneur, and educator. His new book that goes by the name Ordinary to Extraordinary highlights the story of an average man's adventurous search for meaning and the achievement of success. Today's guest for episode 198 of the Breakthrough Success Podcast is none other than Eric Severson. Eric, it is such a pleasure to have you on the show.
Mark, I am so stoked to be here. And man, you are a true professional. I love this. Of course, pre-interview, we've talked a little bit and you're just down to business, getting things going. And all of a sudden, boom, the Mark, the rock star on the mic comes out with your energy. I love what you do, man. And I'm really happy to be here. You are exactly what I preach. Somebody who has making an extraordinary life from themselves, not by being given anything, but by doing something for them and making an extraordinary happen. And, I kind of, the whole idea of it is, I lived it before this, but Elon Musk, he has a quote that says, "I believe it is possible for ordinary people to choose to be extraordinary." And I believe it with every bone in my body.
Eric, I do appreciate the kind words, and I like an Elon Musk quote is always a great way to start an episode. So like, I really agree with that idea that people have the ability to, like, anyone from who is ordinary now has the power to become extraordinary. And that is what we're going to focus on for this book. So if you feel like you have extraordinary results in your future, this episode is going to help you get there. But I'd like to get some background on Eric first before we go deep into the nitty gritty. So can you share with us why you wrote the book and some of the inspiration behind it?
Yeah. So first it happened by living my life. I'm a person who, when I saw doors, I'd open them to see what was through it. And if something looks interesting, I'd go through, and I kept chasing goals, even when people said they were unreasonable. When I was 19, I decided I wanted to go see Africa. So I mowed lawns for 8 months. Nobody helped me. So I raised enough money to get to London and hitchhiked down and spent quite a bit of time in Africa. And I reached that goal, which everybody said was unreasonable. So then I just wrote a bunch of narratives. It ended up to be 42 true first person narratives of living with the Indians in South America doing anthropology research, having a gun in my mouth in Nigeria as I'm trying to cross the border from Benin into Nigeria. Other stories, boxing in Thailand, cafes, having philosophical conversations and cafes, falling in love. So I wrote these stories, these narratives, just kind of for me, and a few people who read them really liked them. So I had a professional get involved to see if I might do something with them, and I was told that they're not enough as is. So I reworked everything to show something that somebody could learn from into pillars of meaning, which are storytelling, purpose, transcendence, and purpose. And I've rearranged these, grouped them into how I found these things through these stories. So it kind of happened as just a fun exercise. And 4 years later, it's turned into something that I like. And so have quite a few other people who have read it. And hopefully it's going to be interesting as well as beneficial for people who read it.
And it's interesting how you didn't go into this thinking, oh, I'm going to write a book about this someday. You were just living out your life, the adventurous lifestyle. And like, this reads like a job resume. I mean, you've traveled to 80 countries, 49 of the U.S. states. You've ridden a motorcycle on 6 continents and rode a motorcycle across the U.S. twice. Summited the highest peaks of 8 countries and 5 states. I mean, like, that is quite the, you get so many different perspectives on that, so many different experiences. But some people, they want to have an adventurous lifestyle. They want to go to all these different places, but they're also entrepreneurs. And some of these same people are also, they also have families. So how do you find the time to be an entrepreneur and do all the other things while having the adventurous lifestyle?
Oh, great, great, great question, Mark. And I think everybody's going to get the first part of what I'm going to say is, I think we need to find a balance between work and family. The whole idea that if you're at a soccer game for a kid, you're not thinking about work. And when you're at work, you're not thinking about missing the soccer game. Make a choice and do one or the other and, you know, manage your time accordingly. And I think everybody pretty much knows that these days. And people do it to varying degrees of success. However, I think there's another point in the triangle. It should be a triangle, not a teeter-totter, that I think people forget to focus on the self. And I personally think that taking care of the self first is a better way to be a better husband. Taking the care of the self first is a better way to be a better father. Taking care of the self first is a better way to be a better entrepreneur. So balancing that triangle and actually taking time. When I go to a country, Fiji was my last one, to climb the highest peak. It's kind of a selfish thing. That one, I'm away from my family for a number of days. Some of the mountains take longer than, you know, multiple days to climb too. But in the end, it allows me that mental clarity, mental comfort to be able to spend time doing my work, my entrepreneurial work, and time with my family. So that's pretty much it. It really, you'd be surprised at how much extra energy and extra time you have when yourself is fully taken care of.
And like, you hear the teeter-totter reference a lot. I mean, like, I've never heard of it said like it's a teeter-totter, but work life, work family, like it does give you this idea of that teeter-totter where if you're sitting on one side, the other side's like going up in the air. But I really like the triangle idea, also taking time for yourself, because one of the best ways you can help others is to help yourself, because that allows you to do a better job when you're helping the other individuals. So like, that's not like constantly help yourself to know when not care about anyone else. But like, if you help yourself, you are better able to help others. If you are a help oriented person, you like helping people.
Yeah, exactly. And golf has become one of the medians of recreation and business combined. And it's really too bad that that's one of the only really institutions of recreation and business being combined together, when I think it's great to, you know, if I have a partner who's in shape and maybe I'm gonna have a meeting with them and we have an extra day, hey, let's go for a hike. And that hike, of course, you know, we're out in nature and doing things like that, but it's also a business meeting. And also the idea of friendship versus business partner, I personally really enjoy the great relationships that I have built with different partners. And it's a really important part of my life. So like you said, doesn't have to be a teeter-totter. I can be in my backyard with my family, with a business partner sitting at the table, and it's all good.
And like, the hiking is an interesting idea because you do get to feed a bunch of birds with the same scone. But one of the things that is important, something that we emphasize a lot, is relationships. There's that saying, your network is your net worth. But one of the things that we don't talk about very much is on breakthrough success in general, and just in general, but like breakthrough success in particular, is like, if you can master multiple languages, you're able to expand your network more because you don't have the language barrier for all these different languages. So in some cases, it's good to pick up that second, even that third language, just to expand the potential for your network. So like, with all the traveling that you've done, all of the adventure, I mean, one of the things I've like, I realized is that like, you probably know a bunch of different languages. So I'm wondering, how exactly do we go about learning a new language?
Oh, great. So, I'm going to start with the language part of, I think it's a great thing for people to do also, because just that excitement learning curve, starting something new and learning the new language, it opens new doors, and you start to see a different way of thinking when you're looking at the language as well. I think with language, one of the quickest things to do is to look at the top, you can just Google this, the top 100 used words. And just almost memorize those. If you memorize the top 100 most words in a language, you're going to get pretty darn far. And pretty much anybody in a few weeks, you know, can get pretty familiar with that few words. Tim Ferriss actually talks about that. And in one of his books, he's even gotten the glossary, a list of in English what the 100 most used words are. So that's a quick start. Then once you get into the language a little bit, the main goal, especially if you're in high intermediate, and even advanced levels, is start to think in English. And a great way to do that is to make sure, or think in whatever language you're trying to speak, is to make sure that you're thinking in the English you want to learn for the last 5 minutes before you go to sleep, and you'll eventually start to dream in the English. And I've had multiple students, and I'm talking about English because that's the language I mostly coach in, but it can be for any language. And so I've had students who were struggling with English, high intermediate level maybe, and I encourage them to think in English for the last 5 minutes a day. Whether they're praying, pray in English. Thinking about the next day, think in English. Thinking about their boyfriend or girlfriend, do it in English. And then they'll run up to me shocked and say, I dreamt in English last night. My first question is, how did you speak? And they said, I couldn't believe how well I was speaking while I was sleeping, because there's no fear of making a mistake. So their unconscious brings everything they know to the surface, and then they know that they have that level in them, so they can, when they're awake, they can continue to speak, not maybe at the same level, but at a much higher level than they thought they could. So breaking that barrier of how much do I really know is really, really key.
And those are some really interesting ideas, and that's something that I'm definitely going to do, because I do want to expand the amount of languages I know without like going too deep into it. But I do like those hacks that you mentioned earlier, just like thinking about it before you go to bed. I mean, like the thoughts you have at the end of the day affect your subconscious, and that has a big impact on your dreams, obviously, and also what you're thinking when you wake up as well. So that subconscious plays a really big part, and not just for learning new languages, but more importantly, with the idea behind going from ordinary to extraordinary. And as we mentioned before, and also with the Elon Musk quote, anyone who is ordinary has the ability to be extraordinary. So what are those few things that people do to go from ordinary to extraordinary?
Okay, and one of them, and this is still a kind of a transition from the language idea, is when you're relaxed, you're able to do more. And for some reason, I think they don't think they're as good as they really are. I can't even remember which book it might have been. It might have been Michael Gerber's The E-Myth Revisited, but it says basically the idea is we overestimate how good or smart other people are, and we underestimate how good or smart we are. So sometimes it's a matter of just asking ourselves for help, but having it come from outside. So if I say to myself, what is the absolute best way to do X, Y, or Z, whatever it is, and I'm just thinking, we create a mental block because we're trying to think of the best thing. If we do one of two things, one is, what is the stupidest way to do X, Y, or Z? Sometimes a creative answer will just pop up, which just happens to be the right one. Another way is to say, what would a really smart person do in this situation? And the answer comes to us. The answer's from ourselves. All we're doing is imagining what a smart person would do in this case. And so it gets us outside, so we're not trying to create the own right answer. We're just trying to listen to somebody else, and it happens to come from ourselves. It's pretty wild. So in that, getting familiar with doing that, we start to realize how much we do have inside of us and how really good we are.
And it's really interesting how you mentioned the exploring that creative side. And like the more separated you are from work, the more creative thoughts you can have. And just to talk about a little story for me, I have a lot of different sleeping schedules. Sometimes I'll wake up really early. Sometimes I'll go to bed really late and wake up a little later. So like, based on my experience, some of the best ideas like that I use for my business come past midnight or even closer to 1 a.m. Now, I obviously can't keep that up all the time, especially when the college life, I don't stay up that late during that time. But the idea is to just like distance yourself from the work a little bit, and then those creative thoughts will flow. And you're just a few creative thoughts away from going from ordinary to extraordinary.
You've nailed it, Mark. Absolutely. And I strongly believe that to break through success, you need to have some very fixed routines. I think a lot of the successful people, billionaires, et cetera, pretty much all of them say they have a morning routine, usually including meditation. And I started meditating seriously about 2 years ago, and I'm still shocked about the changes that just 15 minutes of a guided meditation every morning do for me. So having these routines really, really helps. But another thing is, breaking the routines, just like you said, you have a different sleeping pattern. And sometimes something at 1 a.m. is going to come to you that wouldn't have if you were just doing your normal routine. Taking a freezing shower, or if you don't have an ability of an ice bath, a freezing shower in the morning, your body is shocked in a way that it says, your brain says to yourself, oh my gosh, something's different about today. What is it? I better be prepared. And so it's going to actually send chemicals through your body, trying to figure out, making you a little bit of the fight or flight, figuring out what's different about today, making you a tiny bit sharper. And my master's thesis, a good part of it was written between midnight and 4 a.m. And I encourage anybody who wakes up and they have one of their entrepreneurial projects pops into their head and there's a small idea about it. I think it's a tragedy how often we just think about it for a second and then go back to sleep and it disappears. I will get up for sure and just take a few notes about it. Don't have to work out the whole problem. Take a few notes about it, because those are times when some really good things happen. I'm glad to see that, Mark.
Yeah, those and plus, like, that's a bookend of the day where it's not like planning an idea at 5 p.m. where you could get a phone call. You could be cooking food. You could be doing like a whole bunch of different things that can hold you back from the idea. So picking a bookend like the late hours of the day, which is what Eric and I do, allows you to also have that deep level of focus, and also the distance from the work allows you to solely be focused on the creative without thinking about the work you have to do the next day.
Yeah, absolutely. And another thing is to kind of get it out of the system a little bit, but prepare is making sometimes if I have a few projects I'm working on, I'll just kind of brainstorm for the last 5 minutes of the work part of my day when I know that I'm not going to sit at my desk again. Brainstorm a few topics just so that it is in the back of my mind as I'm doing relaxed things and I'm not trying to solve any problems. But if an answer happens to come, I'm stoked about that.
And like the creative ideas, they're just very valuable. And if you have not carved out a time to just like midnight on like going to bed like really late, 1 a.m. or even later than that, just writing ideas, thinking creatively, just do that once and you'll be amazed at what you come up with. And as I mentioned earlier, being creative and coming up with those creative ideas, you're just a few ideas away from ordinary to extraordinary. But we know that thinking of creative ideas is not the only part of going from ordinary to extraordinary. And with that in mind, I'm wondering if you could share with us, what do you think holds most people back from reaching that extraordinary status, however they define it?
I think that even people who, this is particularly true with entrepreneurs who are starting out in their first few years, I think that they really get excited about learning the whole curriculum, so to speak, of the entrepreneurial success. Even, you know, going back to the classics of Zig Ziglar, looking at, you know, things Tony Robbins is doing and Brendan Shard, they almost get caught up into an obsession of learning and learning and learning, and it's amazing. You need it. However, once they start to get to a point when they know quite a bit and they go for the next book rather than doing something, it becomes an academic exercise going nowhere. And I know we've talked about this before. I know that you're fully aware of this. And Bruce Lee has a quote too. I kind of like quotes. His is, knowing is not enough, we must do. Willing is not enough, we must apply. So knowing is not enough. You have to take action. So if you researched how to write the best blog in the world for 3 years, that's awesome. You're probably going to be a pretty darn good blog writer. However, like you do, if you write one every single day for 3 years in a row, you're going to be a million times better. And you're going to have a huge thing of content behind you already, too.
And it's not just about like having the content behind you and getting the practice in, but also like from a blogging standpoint, you want to get as much traffic to your content as possible. So even if in those 3 years, like the person blogging every day versus the person who researches how to write the best blog post, even if their quality of content is the same, the person who's been blogging for 3 years has an audience already, no matter how big or small, but the person who did the research and is just getting started is starting with no audience.
Absolutely. So I used to say something. I used to say, I don't care what direction I'm moving as long as I'm moving. And literally sometimes I'll be going in a direction full speed ahead and then something would come and it would change the way I was thinking about things. And I would kind of do a U-turn and I would be moving just as fast in the exact opposite direction, but I was still moving and it always led to really amazing things. And it doesn't, for example, if somebody wants to get into public speaking, the right thing to do is probably not to put a big price tag out there and say how wonderful you are and ask a bunch of people to pay you to go speak. Get out there and do it. I spoke multiple times for free. In fact, I've flown to different states to speak for free just so that I could get one more experience, one more exposure. And it always leads to really, really amazing things.
And as you do continue to put in that practice, and Eric's case with the speaking, you do also meet more people and expand your network that way. And one of the things that, like with any goal, like being a public speaker or anything else, it has its own set of challenges that we have to embrace along the way. And with that in mind, Eric, I know that you've had a lot of them. We all have had a lot of them, but what is one big challenge that you have faced in your journey and a powerful lesson you learned during that challenge?
I've had some major challenges. I out of high school, I applied to UCLA and I was rejected and I didn't have a backup plan. I went to a community college and that led to some amazing things. Green River Community College changed my life for the better. And I got into UCLA 2 years later. So I didn't put my head down and start moping when I didn't reach a life goal I had had. Other challenges. I've been part of a company that created and invested, you know, $250,000 and it didn't go anywhere. It failed. I had to suck it up, pull my pants up and go to work on something else. And so, I did learn a lot about synergy, or in this case, the lack of synergy. In that case, I look at synergy in a whole different way now, seeing how necessary, not cooperation. We had cooperation, but synergy is. And so that was a big expensive mistake. And I learned a lot from it. And again, it would be really easy to just say, oh, look at that. I failed. I'm not going to try something like that again. That's for sure. So keep on going is a big part. I think the mental part, entrepreneurs, I don't think there's anything magical about entrepreneurs, but I do think entrepreneurs have either grown up with, born with, which I think less, but grown up with, born with, or figured out. I'm one of those who figured it out, had to figure it out, that we can do so much more. We have to be so much more mentally tough to get through the finish line, not to start, not to get halfway up, but to get through the finish line. I'm going to actually tell you a funny anecdote that just happened a few days ago. I'm up at my old high school, Washington High School, and I'm speaking at graduation day. All the seniors are in the caps and gowns, and I'm giving them 7 minutes of advice. It was a 7-minute speech about failure, fear, and overcoming it and becoming extraordinary. So we're in the gym, and a bunch of the students were, there was probably a 15-foot rope thing in the gym that you have to climb up and reach the top of the gym. So some of the students challenged me to do it. And I'm wearing slacks, dress shoes, and a jacket. And I always accept a challenge, which is probably a downfall. But so I hop on this rope. And it is the waxiest, slipperiest climbing rope I've ever been on in my life. I get halfway up, and I'm starting to panic that I'm not going to make it, right? But I get about 3/4 of the way up, and I'm panicking even more. I'm starting to get tired and, you know, 12 feet off the floor. So then there's a little plastic covering of the top of the rope coming down with about 20 inches till the top of the pillar. And I touch it thinking I'm done. I start coming down. They're like, no, you have to touch the pillar. So there I go again. And you know what? I guarantee you, Mark, that if I would have said, look how tired I am, I'm exhausted, I don't think I can make it, I would have slid down that rope and they would have all not listened. They would have refused to believe anything I said. Instead, I started going back up the rope in my slacks and my dress shoes, touched the pillar and slid down. And it wasn't strength that got me up that. That was a mental desire not to quit. And I think we all need that.
And I really like the anecdote because like, as you mentioned, entrepreneurial, a lot of it is the mindset. Like, you could say that about life in general, but I feel like entrepreneurs, they have a deeper focus on the mindset, and anyone who has a little bit of that entrepreneurial flair, and anyone who's thinking about doing their side hustle or anything like that. But we do know how important the mindset is. And you're also an example for other people. So as you mentioned with the rope, you could have easily given up, but that's going to hurt when you go up, you deliver your speech, and people are going to realize you gave up on the rope. So
exactly.
Yeah, it's like you are an example for other people. So that's something that we should all keep in mind. And one of the common themes that we've struck on is you have to learn at the same time you have to do. And
yes,
I would like to get the learning part addressed, though, because we've talked a lot about like how to take action. But there are some people who, and actually all of us, we do need to learn and acquire as much knowledge as possible. Still do it, but we do have to learn. So with that in mind, I'm wondering if you could share with us three great books that you believe will have a positive impact on us.
Okay. One is The Power of Meaning by Emily Esfahani Smith. And that book basically puts meaning in perspective, which is belonging, purpose, storytelling, and transcendence. And those are pillars that add meaning into our lives, because I think we have to find a meaning to go forward. Starting a business, being an entrepreneur, is an easy way to latch onto some of those pillars as well. The Magic of Thinking Big by Schwartz. That's a book, I think it was 1959. And man, I still get a lot from that one about how the bigger we dream, the bigger we're going to reach. If you have huge, huge, huge dreams way out there and you only get 75% there, you're probably 50% further than a lot of people go. So that's one. And The E-Myth Revisited by Gerber, talking about there's no magical pill that entrepreneurs have, but there are certain things that they do that allow them to be successful. And so this isn't necessarily a book, but I think any budding entrepreneur, anybody who is breaking through success or wants to break through success, needs mentors or coaches. I kind of have this model in my head of a pyramid of mentors, where you've got some mentors that are, you know, been doing it for years and years and years, and they're very established with a giant mega following. And then you've got other mentors who have almost just started out. Maybe they're 6 months into their journey, but do you know how much they can help somebody who is just starting with 2 weeks into their journey? Because they've already paved the way. I think I made the mistake of trying to figure a lot of things out myself. And I started actually paying coaches. I still pay coaches. I am paid to be a coach, and I pay other people who coach me. And that's kind of how the pyramid works. I'm helping people who are further in the path, not quite as far in the path as I am. And I'm being helped by people who are further in the path from me. I spend a ton of money on improving myself. Thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars per year I spend on getting people to help improve me. And it's paid off, as it allows me to help other people. It allows me to succeed, and it allows me to help other people.
And I really like that idea of the coaching element, because I do have a coach who has made such a big impact on this podcast, and I do plan on hiring more coaches as well. And I also very appreciative of the book recommendations you shared with us. All those will be in the show notes, markbury.com/E198. And for anyone who wants a book that will help them with their content marketing, for anyone who wants to get more revenue from their content brands, you can grab your copy of my book, Content Marketing Secrets, over at markgaberti.com/book. And before we wrap up this episode, Eric, I've asked you several questions throughout our time together, but what do you believe is one question that we need to be asking ourselves more often?
Is there meaning in my life? And I think it's a question we can ask ourselves daily. And I think the answer could be secular, it could be spiritual, it could be everything, for depending on where a person is as they ask themselves that question. But I think that there are kind of three levels of people. One is somebody who is super happy with life. They're totally stoked about where they are. And maybe they know why they're stoked, why things are going well, and maybe they don't. For them, it's good to know why, to figure out why, what makes it good for them, and to share it. The second is somebody who goes through life. They have a job and, you know, they show it up every day. It might be routine, mundane, and they don't really question anything more. And that's fine. However, I think there's a lot more out there. And then there are those who are struggling desperately. And that third, if I'm going to use a third of them, is way more than you'd expect, because people don't always talk about that. But there are a lot of people out there who are really struggling with life. And if they ask themselves, what is the meaning of my life? Sometimes they'll start to see ways they could make it better. And usually I think the way to make it better is to reach out for help, reach out for either mentors, friends, whatever it is.
Eric, thank you for sharing with us that great question and all of your great insights throughout our time together. If you guys want to keep up with Eric, you can head over to ericseverson.com. That will be in the show notes. And also, don't forget to grab your copy of his book, Ordinary to Extraordinary. That will be in the show notes as well. Eric, I can't thank you enough for sharing all of your great insights with us today. It was such a pleasure to have you on Breakthrough Success.
Thanks, Mark. It's been a pleasure to be here, and I look forward to following all of your successes.
How does over 100 retweets per day sound to you? My free ebook, 27 Ways to Get More Retweets on Twitter, has you covered. I use the methods within this ebook to get over 10,000 retweets every single quarter. To learn